Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
You wrote a very strong column, and you know, you appended it, so I'll give you a chance to explain everything, but you wrote a column that came out this morning. It came out this morning, right?
Yep.
About how many white quarterbacks and other players, Carson Wentz, Joe Burrow, who, you know,
hasn't
just
taken a snap in the NFL.
Respect. Yep. And others, Derek Carr and some others, Ryan Tannehill, have spoken out and respected him for speaking out on this issue. And they said, Rob, in no uncertain terms, I'm siding with the black community on this. So kudos to them. But you wrote a column wondering where the voices of the black quarterbacks was. And since then, some have spoken. So I'll give you a chance to kind of explain it. And then we'll get into why it's important for not just black quarterbacks, but black athletes in general to speak out.
No doubt about it. Today, this morning, Chris, on Deadspin.com, you know where I write a weekly column now. And the headline was, Where are the voices of black quarterbacks? And I just looked at the top five, Chris, who are some of the biggest stars in sports right now, right? Pat Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson,
Lamar Jackson.
Those are the guys I put up there. I didn't say Cam, who's not on a team now.
I thought
now.
Dak wasn't elite.
Well, I'm just saying as far as
thank
star
you.
Power. No. I'm just talking about. I ain't talking about on the
hey,
field.
Hey, rack that, Chris.
People
rack
know
that
who
USC,
he is.
Chris.
But my
we'll
point,
need, I'll need that later.
But my point was, you know, what are you holding back for? What are you waiting on to speak out from this, especially, Chris? I think they should be attached to it because the guy who tried to warn us, who tried to change what was going on in this country 4 years ago with a peaceful protest was Colin Kaepernick, a black quarterback.
Right. Right.
That's why these guys are important, Chris. They're the face of the franchise. These billion-dollar franchises, people look up to them. They're role models. And the idea that the weekend came and went, and none of these guys have addressed this. Trevor Lawrence, who's a college kid at Clemson, did you read his tweet?
Yep.
A grown man tweet.
Yep.
Chris, if you're a black player in that locker room, don't tell me you don't look at him differently.
Oh,
yes,
no,
you do.
And we mentioned Joe Burrow.
Same thing with Joe Burrow.
Yep. And I'm not suggesting, and I know you aren't either, in the least bit that's why he did it.
No, not at all.
But brothers will respect him, no question.
Because it's not their fight.
Right.
It's not their fight. And I get it, Chris. Yes. You need everybody to be on board to make real changes. So it's great. But where are the black voices? You know, black fans have a love affair with the black quarterback. You know that. Going back to Doug Williams, I even mentioned him in the column. You remember, Chris, when he won the Super Bowl? It was like, it was euphoric for the black community.
Right.
We have finally had a quarterback who was the leader of men, who was the leader. All this time we were told that black guys couldn't be quarterbacks. We weren't smart enough. It was a thinking man's position, right? And then Doug Williams did his thing. And my point was, we need to hear from them. You can't be worried about what people are saying when we're talking about right or wrong. I'm not asking you to endorse some political candidate, Chris, or get on your soapbox about some issue that you have no business talking about, the peace in the Middle East. That's not what I want. This is right and wrong. This was in your backyard. Colin Kaepernick told everybody. You shunned him. You didn't embrace him. Some guys wouldn't even publicly be like, I might not kneel, Chris, but what he's talking about is something that needs to happen and change. I can respect that, right? You don't have to kneel, but publicly, you could have said, this guy has a just cause that he's out here for, and we shouldn't take from him that the NFL took his livelihood and job because he was trying to do something good, and those guys didn't. And I'll give Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes credit. They came out with statements, Chris, after the column rent. I'm not saying that I had anything to do with it. They could have been working on it all weekend. I don't know. But they came out after my column, and the other three guys we still haven't heard from as far as addressing that issue.
Yeah, I agree with what you said without question. I do understand. And if you read, especially what Russell Wilson wrote, it was very thoughtful. And Patrick Mahomes was as well. But if they were taking their time, I released a statement. What's today? Monday on Saturday.
Saw.
Yeah, Saturday night. Well, Sunday I released it. So that was a little time after. I wanted to gather my thoughts. I wanted to make sure, you know, that I covered the bases I wanted to cover. This is a serious issue. And I would rather an athlete, any athlete, but in this case, black athletes, I would rather them take their time, make sure they say something thoughtful and something that they, you know, they can stand behind and they understand the situation and the issue. And if it takes them a few days, if it takes them a little while, I'm fine with it. I'd rather them do that than go out there and say something, you know, ridiculous and, you know, something like, and which I've seen some entertainers say some things that I seriously disagree with. So I'm fine with that. I just think in general, Rob, that one thing I'd like people to understand is black athletes in general. It is not fair that we ask so much of black athletes when it comes to speaking out and being socially conscious and all that. It's unfortunate that we need them to do that because their white counterparts don't have to do that. Nobody knows much or cares much about Tom Brady's views on this and that. But the fact is, because of the history of this country and because of the contemporary situation within this country, we do need our black athletes to step up. We do need them. They have a responsibility to address these issues, Rob. Black athletes, we said it with Jackie Robinson. They are the number one. They're the most irreplaceable African Americans. They are neat. LeBron James, if he had knelt like Colin Kaepernick, it would have been just fine. The Lakers wouldn't have done a thing. The NBA wouldn't have done a thing. And he would have been fine because he's that good and he's that irreplaceable. Our athletes are the wealthiest of African Americans. Look at the list of Forbes' top 10 wealthiest African Americans. Virtually all of them, at least 8 of them, if not all 10, made their wealth, or 9, made their wealth through either sports or entertainment. Some connection to one of the two. Thirdly, they're the most well-connected. McDonald's needs them. Coca-Cola needs them. Nike needs them. Adidas needs them. They got all these endorsements. They should demand things of those companies that want to endorse them. I'm talking about demanding things in terms of, you know, how they treat or deal with the black community. If I was an athlete, I would like them to, if you want to endorse me, Coca-Cola, how many of you, what percentage of your managers or plant managers are African-American? You know, how many, you know, McDonald's, how many of your franchise, what percentage are owned by African-Americans? If you want me to endorse your product, things like that. And fourthly, the black athletes are the most beloved African-Americans. You have white kids growing up idolizing these black athletes, and that gives them a lot of sway and a lot of power. And so that is why we need them to speak up. I get it. You're young. You don't know you're an athlete. You might not be that, you know, well-read or educated, but get with the blacks who are. Get with people that are and let them share things with you that you can use to help your people.
And Chris, I agree. My only thing is the one thing when people talk about, like, when people try to use the excuse, well, I don't know about this or know about that. That, to me, sometimes it's a cop-out from this standpoint. You know what's right and wrong. Even if you don't want to go into a big conversation, Chris, or diatribe on what's happening, you saw what happened to George Floyd. It's unacceptable and, right. and can't be tolerated. That's the difference between right and wrong. And if somebody doesn't, and if you're holding back because you're worried about somebody buying your jersey or your sneakers or the products that you hawk, shame on you. Because anybody who would hold that against you for being on the right side of life, Chris, is somebody I'm not interested in and I don't care about. To hold up. And that's the part that I can't get over. We're talking about right and wrong. That's what we're talking about. What we saw in Minneapolis, Chris, was wrong. I don't care what you're doing. If you can't hit a ball, make a basket, or just a regular Joe looking at the circumstance and the situation, that is unacceptable.
Right. I agree. And look, we know, Rob, that and this is not just athletes. This is your favorite thug, gangster, shoot 'em up rapper. This is, you know, many other African Americans. For all the braggadocio, all the warrior-like qualities on the field, many of them are afraid to speak out because of what white Americans might think or yep. do. That's what it is. And I was looking at a video today where some rapper podcast, you know, did a hip-hop podcast or something, was calling out another hip-hop podcast and just going off on them and how tough he is. I'm like, do you see what's going on? And you bragging about how bad and tough you are and our community's getting ransacked and you ain't saying a thing. So all these brothers that jump bad with brothers, they are a lot of them are afraid to even say a peep against the white community or white America or things that are being done to blacks that aren't right. And I say man up and speak your mind because you have the platform.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We got NFL Super Bowl champion, friend of the show, more than friend of the show. That's right. He's the bodyguard of the show. Greg Jennings coming up right now on Discover Card Celebrity Hotline. Get your free credit scorecard today. Even if you're not a Discover customer, it includes your FICO credit score, and checking your scorecard will not hurt your credit. Learn more at discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations do apply. Greg Jennings, resident bodyguard of the Odd Couple. What's up, man?
What's going on, fellas? How are you guys?
Man, you needed those muscles too in Minneapolis.
Right, so tell us, you live in Minneapolis, and tell us what went down.
Yeah, so been a resident of Minneapolis now for 7 years. And obviously everybody knows what has taken place and transpired, the life of George Floyd being taken by the law enforcement officer. Unfortunate events that sparked an outrage across the country, and rightfully so. Do I agree with every action that has been shown and acted out? No, I don't. However, I understand it. And I could never fully understand it the way that those who are acting out in the way that they feel they should act out or they have act out. I can never fully understand it from their perspective, but for mine, it's been a unique experience. It's been an experience that has been real. That's the only word that I can find that has any meaning. It's like it is real. This is not a movie. This has been a reality. This has been a perpetual thing that has gone on between law enforcement and specifically the Black community for years upon years, and it has to stop. And my wife's store is downtown, and I chose to stand in the store, guard the store from any potential arson and looting. And we fortunately didn't have any, but
thank
saw
God.
It all around. Yes,
so Greg, did you just go out as a preventative measure, like just in case I'm going to stand in front, or was stuff starting to happen where it looked like people were going to damage your wife's store?
Yeah, I mean, things were already happening. And so, you know, I just spoke with my wife. I told her that I was coming down to put signs up in the door to let whomever was doing the acts know that this is Black-owned because it had been kind of seen that they were overlooking the Black-owned businesses for just this time being. And I don't want to say that like I'm insensitive to any other businesses that aren't Black-owned.
Right.
Because that's not the case. But, yeah, man, as I had my wife leaving and I was coming and we swapped cars, I mean, we literally were witnessing looting taking place across the street. I mean, a car backed all the way into one of the local businesses.
Wow.
And literally emptying them out. And law enforcement officers and squad cars were present and just kind of letting it take place. And it was like, you know, I felt like this was what I needed to do to protect what we have established. And it's not that I was protecting items and product and material things. It was just like everyone else who decided to go out and march and stand for what they believe and what they've earned. Like this, that's how I felt as a husband, as a businessman and business owner. I would rather prevent the fire versus having to have it put out.
Greg, let me say this. Let me ask you this question. Being a former NFL player, and the NFL put out a statement after this, and does it rub you a little bit the wrong way that 4 years ago, this is what Colin Kaepernick was trying to talk about and prevent? A George Floyd being killed, unarmed Black man at the hands of a white cop, and he was ostracized, shunned, stripped of his livelihood and his career for trying to make a difference, and people in the NFL just would have no part of this guy. And now here's everybody talking about, let's do this peacefully.
Yeah, I mean, it from initial response and feelings and mixed emotions, yeah, it does rub you the wrong way on one side of the coin. But then when you look on the other side of the coin, it's like, okay, let's continue having the conversation and advancing the cause of why Colin Kaepernick did what he decided to do, and that was right in his eyes, and that was right in so many of our eyes. But he had to bear the brunt. He had to bear the load of losing his job and not being given another opportunity to date. And that is definitely unfair, and he hasn't been treated fairly in that regard. But when it comes to advancing a cause, if someone didn't listen the first time, and this is where I have to be a man of integrity and I have to be just true to who I am. If I refuse to listen and I'm only hearing you for so long, and then I decide to listen, I am convinced I decide to listen, I would be a fool to just disregard the fact that you're now listening and go back to the place of when you weren't. Like, and don't get me wrong, I'm never going to forget that. But, okay, I have your attention now. And so how can we now link arms and advance this cause and move forward and progress where we are so that these things don't continue to happen? Because, we need these commissioners and we need these NFL teams and these organizations to stand up and to put out these comments and to stand behind them and put action behind them versus just saying it. And I feel like if that is what's going to happen, then okay, we can lock arms and we can continue to advance this cause. Because what my message is and what Colin Kaepernick's message is and his act was and his stance, he could reach only so many, and only so many were going to receive it from him. But if more would have linked arms and said it that didn't look like him, we would have reached so much more, so many more. And Grant, it would have been received by so many more.
We got about a minute for your comment. Rob and I have often talked about how the players, if they had decided, even just the black players, it'd be all players, but just the black players that said, you know what? Colin Kaepernick deserves to be in the league. What he's doing is just. We're not playing until he's back. We don't think they would have missed the game. You know, certainly not more than one. But why? That may be unrealistic. Why is it so, or at least Chris, appears to me, be but, so but unrealistic?
Chris, it's not unrealistic because we saw it at Missouri with the football players. We saw the power. And the NFL players
the power.
Have the power.
Just getting them together.
Why, Greg?
I mean,
why can't they get together?
I think honestly, everyone's thinking of themselves, and that's right. Just the truth. Everyone's thinking about the impact it would have on them financially, and they're not thinking about big picture. They're not thinking about the masses. They're not thinking about the cause. They're more so thinking about them indirectly, and that's human nature to do that.
Right.
Until it hits you in the gut and you feel like, oh, shoot, I got to do something now.
Greg, I got to say this. This is the part that hurts the most. The NFL can do right because I saw them do right in 1993 when they took away the Super Bowl from the state of Arizona that did not vote to have Martin Luther King, which had become a national holiday, as a paid state holiday. The NFL went to Arizona, and you know what they said? You'll never get another Super Bowl as long as you don't have the Martin Luther King holiday. Greg, how long did it take to get the Martin Luther King holiday in Arizona? The next year.
It didn't take long.
You know why? Because they can push social issues. They can. They're that powerful. They can make things happen. That's why I'm disappointed in the NFL. I've seen them do it before. We saw the NBA do it, Chris, with the bathroom bill in North Carolina.
That's right.
They have power. They can do it. This could have been avoided.
Greg, thanks a lot, brother.
Thank you, buddy.
And,
I'm sorry.
We'll be praying for you and your family up there in Minneapolis,
stay
too.
Stay safe.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
A former executive with the NFL, he was actually their vice president of communications. He wrote a story, now works for CNN, and he wrote a story stating outright that the reason Colin Kaepernick is not in the NFL had nothing to do with ability, nothing to do with his financial demands, nothing to do with him wanting a starting job. It was all because of his stance. And he even said one executive told him, we'll lose 20% of our gate if we bring in Colin Kaepernick, we'll lose 20% of our season ticket holders. And that's why he was not in the NFL, which is no surprise to you and me. And I think any rational person out there, anybody that was trying to justify Colin Kaepernick not being in the NFL on any other basis, right? Any other basis first of all, you played yourself, because it was obvious why he wasn't in the NFL. And we're not saying, Rob, that he's Patrick Mahomes. You know, we weren't saying he was maybe even an above average starter at that point in his career, or an average starter. Right. But he was certainly better than numerous guys that the league was drawing out of freaking retirement.
Right. Guys who have played like in low-level arena football leagues.
Right.
And all kinds of stuff, Chris. And then you would hear people call up, especially a lot, and fans who were just anti what Kaepernick was doing. He can't play. His skills.
Come
he
on.
Can't play. And you know, that was the battle cry.
Yep.
That he couldn't play. And it was all BS. It was all BS. We knew it from day one. This was about what Colin Kaepernick was trying to do in a peaceful way. And I still want to say to this day, Chris, and we know, because we both know Steve Weiss, who broke the story about Kaepernick, is that Kaepernick didn't issue a press release, Chris, or try to get his teammates involved. He did it to it by himself.
Yep.
He never even told anybody.
I think
Steve Weiss noticed him and said, "What are you doing? Why are you sitting there during the national anthem?" And he explained what was going on.
Yeah, I think this is one reason that many people, including myself, have wanted Kaepernick to be more outspoken, to make more statements, or, you know, even do more publicly since he's been out of the league. But I think one reason he hasn't is because, Rob, I don't think he ever set out to start a movement or anything. I think it was a personal conviction. He was like, look, I can't stand for the anthem when I see what's happening in the streets to black citizens by police who are supposed to protect and serve them. I can't stand. Just me. He didn't try to get other teammates to do it.
Nobody.
Like he said, he didn't sound an alarm. Oh, look at me. Look how righteous I am and righteous indignation. No, he just said, I can't do it. And as you said, Weiss noticed it. And, you know, it took off from
there.
And
that's where the story came from, right? It would be totally different. People try to make... No... And then even, Chris, I see on Twitter where people talk about, well, he took the money from the NFL or whatever. Dude, that was because they unlawfully barred him from working.
Right.
That's a settlement.
Right.
That's by law.
That money. He deserved that money. There's no question about
it. They didn't want to go to court because they were suing him for wrongful termination.
Right.
Chris, he didn't take their hush money. That was a settlement from what they had done to him, and they didn't want all of their... You want all your emails and phone calls to be exposed?
I ain't no telling what would have came
exactly.
Well, Rob G, read a quote from Joe Lockhart in this article that I'm talking about.
Kaepernick worked out with several teams, but no one wanted to sign someone with his obvious talents, even if the consensus was that he'd be a high-quality backup. And football insiders were clear he had more talent than many of the backups in the league. And he continues, but for many owners, it always came back to the same thing. Signing Kaepernick, they thought, was bad for business.
The irony is this too, guys. The way the NFL has changed at the quarterback position, and we know initially Kaepernick was a part of that, right?
Right,
we know the infamous Ron Jaworski quote. Yeah, he's going to be the best ever. And then, you know, he fell off. But now the way more and more quarterbacks are playing, I mean, this is perfect. I'm not saying he's going to come back and be Lamar Jackson. But this is like, that's the type of guy you would want for a lot of teams. Am I right?
Right.
And he still couldn't get a look. And
that's the flavor of the month. Like, he should be a backup for one of these guys who do that. Because, Chris, that's how he played.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And you know, theoretically, you think if they run more, they got a better chance of getting hurt, theoretically. So, again, to bring in a guy like that would seem perfect. And I'm glad Joe Lockhart has come clean because, again, I'm sorry, sensible people, and I'm not insulting people that disagreed, but it just was so obvious.
Right.
Come on.
I know.
It was just so obvious.
And people tried to act as if they couldn't figure it out. They're begging quarterbacks to come out of retirement and just the craziest stuff I've ever seen. And then that's when I really thought to myself, people don't want to win. Like they would rather, Chris, not win than to have to give in to what it was he was trying to get across. And we said it, Chris, we said it back then since we've been on the air together. What he did was courageous. Most people, Chris, could never give up their comfortable life and livelihood for people they don't even know.
Yep.
It wasn't his cousin. It wasn't his brother who was killed by cops. It wasn't people he didn't even know.
You know what else, Rob? And a lot of some people, and you'll know who I'm talking about, have criticized Kaepernick. Because, look, he grew up privileged. I mean, I know, you know his situation. He was adopted.
Right.
But he was adopted by a white family. And he grew up in a nice, middle class.
Life was
maybe
good.
Even upper middle class, yeah. And so he didn't have those struggles in the hood that many African Americans have and things like that. And blacks have criticized him and said, oh, he's trying to, overcompensate or whatever. Look at what this dude has done. Like you said, Rob, he hasn't experienced it. It's not his cousin. It's not as close to home for him. And yet he's still willing to give it up and to stand up for what his beliefs are. So
I think that's courageous.
Right. Martin Luther King was middle class.
Yes.
He wasn't from in the hood preaching. He had a middle class black church. And yet and many of the African Americans who fought earlier than Martin Luther King were free blacks, right? During slavery, they fought for abolition. They weren't slaves. So they were free blacks, but they fought for it. So this notion that you have to be downtrodden to speak out and fight for African Americans or any other oppressed people, right? It's not. And so, Cap, as you said, salute to him, man. And people are seeing that. They wish they had Kaepernick now and his peaceful protest compared to what's going on now. So, I'm glad Joe Lockhart came out with this truth. And we'll see. We'll talk about it a little later, Rob, but we'll see if there are any repercussions or ramifications from this.